We're looking forward to listening to the citizen lobbyist. She's going to make another call. It's been a kind of a short week, has it not, citizen lobbyist?
It seems like it's been a long week and a short amount of time. How's that?
Okay. That covers all the ground. That covers all the ground. Yes, indeed. We did have a meeting, and we were both there for it with the Borough Assembly. And I thought that was kind of an interesting, relatively short, a few hours, but they did surface some interesting topics. Do we want to begin there?
Let's start there, Mike. Yep, it was sort of a short meeting, 2.5 hours, and as assembly meetings go, just about the right time in my book, anyway. They started out by having a proclamation read let listeners know that everybody was there except for Assemblyman Culligan, who did not call in and was not there. Assemblyman Matthew Beck was on the line for the good part of the meeting. He's back in Pittsburgh, and I heard Mr. Culligan is off in the Orient somewhere, but he did not call off. So pretty much had a full quorum.
Okay.
They kicked off the meeting by the mayor reading a proclamation of appreciation, sort of, for outgoing emergency services director Bill Gamble, who was not there to accept it, but nonetheless, Mr. Mayor read it and talked about all the gratitude for the service of Mr. Gamble versus fire chief of the Big Lake area, the West Lakes fire chief, and then last as director of the entire department. He is now, after, what, can't remember, 27, 24 years, some
26.
Lot of years working for the borough. He has moved on to doing some things in the private sector, it sounds like, but nonetheless, they are very appreciative of him. They also introduced the new director of emergency services. I don't know if you've had a chance to interview him, Mike.
We're setting that up. We were setting it up because he has a fascinating background. Do you want to sum up some of that for people?
No, well, why don't you do that? Go ahead.
Well, apparently, I think one thing that sticks out prominent in his background is that many listeners may remember that in Japan there was a major event with Fukushima. And the new director was there. He was in charge of communication services, so he was in a very high-profile, very intense circumstance and has considerable other backgrounds. My sense about it is that people are really looking forward to having him here. He's highly qualified. He brings, in some sense, fresh eyes. But we'll just see how it all plays out.
I've heard nothing but good about his calm demeanor and his take charge, but in a good way approach. So looking forward to working with him.
Right.
They went from there to their reports in the cities. Mayor Cottle, as always, was there, talked about some activities that are happening at Menard Center. They're having a big Valley Mountain Bikers Fat Tire Race, I think this weekend, maybe.
Yes.
And a lot of those people, and they're very excited about that. Roller derby starting, Knights of the Fights, all kinds of things. He also wanted to let people know he's worked really hard on this, I know, as a senior walk time Monday through Friday that are free for seniors, 7:30 to 8:30. He got several people to donate money to offset the cost of that. AARP was probably one of those donors. So that'll be starting up here in February, in this month, too. So that's a good thing. They had no report from the school district, which is sort of dismays me since there's kind of a lot going on at the school district, as we found out from last week's report, Mike, with the struggles that they're having, but maybe they're saving it up here.
Well, there is some justification for that in that the school district had a series of three budget meetings.
True.
Scattered about, and I think Tuesdays was until Keetna. The superintendent had committed to being at all of those, and of course the chief financial officer, Luke Fulp, would have been there as well. And that does, I think that shifted their focus. And I'm not sure what they would have told the borough or heard from the borough if they had appeared at this particular assembly meeting.
That's a fair point, although I think it always is good. There's a lot of employees there, and I think it's always good for you know, when they have a place on the agenda to have somebody there, if it's not just to talk about what kind of events they're working
sure.
on. But nonetheless, it just didn't work out. They also had a report from their Joint Assembly School Board Committee, which was on Monday. Mr. Sykes, Solomon Sykes, talked about that and some of the conversations they had at that meeting. This is a regularly monthly kind of a working group, so to speak, with a couple members of the Assembly and people. It takes place in the superintendent's office. I wasn't able to go. I normally do go. But he said a lot of it was just talk about the budget and the glooming forecast that we have going here. And we'll be hearing a lot more about that as we go down the trail here. They had a really pretty good report from this is part of the manager's report. I thought they had a good report from their public works director, Terry Dolan, on what's going on in public works. He had a handout that was pretty comprehensive. He ended it by talking about one of my favorite things, and that's about recycling. And he was very self-effacing, I thought, at the very beginning by saying, you know, that he was kind of a doubter on recycling and the advantages of doing it. And he has come to understand the program more, and he's been working closely with the director of the VCRS, and that they have they've really come to some, they thought, some advances in the program, and that it's pretty much paying for itself now. He thinks there's some big improvements that could be made, particularly with the school district, which has been sort of one of my pet peeves, too, Mike, that the school district isn't more aggressive in recycling and in educating about recycling. So he opened the door for that. But it was good to hear him say that he's worked really good with the outlying communities. Sutton's starting a recycling program, which I think is pretty exciting. And the folks up in Meadow Lakes and the outlying areas, which really is a cost program for his department, have really stepped up to the plate, and they're all volunteer-led, and sounds like he's all in and assisting them. So I think that was, to me, some of the better news that came out of that meeting, or that his report.
Yeah, it was pretty comprehensive one. I was impressed. It wasn't just a brief top summary, and he did it, as you suggested, by reviewing his own changing feelings, evolving feelings about the whole program.
Yeah, I think Mr. Dolan does a good job in that department, and he always gives a good report. Another good report came from another community partner, the Massive Health Foundation. Executive Director Elizabeth Ripley was there, along with Melissa Kimberline, and they gave quite a good report on what the Massive Health Foundation has been up to. Of course, the foundation works with the hospital. It's a nonprofit that is able to actually, from the sale of the old hospital, that's a kind of an interesting history lesson you could probably give one day, Mike. But the benefit is big from the foundation to the community. Some $77 million annually gets pumped back into our community and in the way of grants from the foundation. So she talked about their new health assessment. And there were some pretty interesting things that she pointed out that listeners may not know, besides the $7 million annually and growing that they give back to the community. But just some statistics that our population grew from 8% from the 2010 census and 62%, wrap your head around that, from the 2000 census.
Right.
She talked about, you know, what the barriers to good health were that they've identified. They do these health assessments, community assessments, every 3 years. They're mandated to do them. And so this is the latest one. But she talks about the real chief barriers, which is, of course, cost and transportation and lack of providers, particularly for behavioral health. And then there's also a big problem right now. I know I've been in on a lot of meetings about the lack of opportunity for doctors for Medicare patients right now. It's getting slimmer and slimmer out there. And in fact, that group, they have a whole section at the Matthew Health Foundation that concentrates on healthy aging. And that dynamic has really grown residents 65 to 74 is expected to grow 42%, and age 75 to 84 will grow 44.1% by 2020. So that is a really big growth area for them. So they went through a lot of, talking about since their last behavioral health assessment, what's changed. They had some really nice handouts, all that I think are available on their website. So if listeners are interested in that, I encourage them to, tune into that or go to their website and look. And then the other presentation, Mike, that I thought was pretty good was from the assessor.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful piece, yeah.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I can. Okay. Back in the day, I remember having the state assessor. I'm going to give a little preview to that. I remember the state assessor, because there is such a position, who gave a presentation at an Alaska Municipal League conference that I had attended. And it was at that point that I began to appreciate the complexity of the assessment task. And in part, he gave a background statement, the state assessor did, pointing out that very often getting information was a little bit difficult because Alaska does not have a practice where when a property is sold, you immediately get a value in a database that's easily accessed.
I think it's a real estate disclosure law or something.
Right.
Like that.
And as a result, fast forwarding to Tuesday night's presentation, I thought the calm demeanor with which the assessor went through very clearly describing the circumstances of assessment here in the borough, making some comparisons to other places, whether it's Anchorage or Fairbanks, et cetera, clearly pointed out that those people working in the assessment department were at a considerable disadvantage, in part because I think he pointed to two things. One, they lacked the advantage that other places have found in the use of technology, and secondly, they lacked the number of people being on a ratio of a number of parcels to people doing the assessing, arguably the smallest group in the state. And I think what emerged for me from his presentation, and I'm hopeful that the assembly members listening captured that he was pointing out that if on the one hand you're interested in having accuracy in assessment, so that you're not having 800 and some odd reassessments because of some errors that were made or lack of information, and you want to ensure that everyone is treated equally, meaning that if you own property, that you are fairly taxed, the end result would be an improvement in the situation as far as the income that is derived from real estate taxes here in the borough. And it's one of those cases where he was clearly able to define why an investment in this arena would make a lot of people happy, except perhaps those that find that they have been missed in the assessment process.
Yeah, I think that's a really good overview of what this. We should probably name instead of the assessor, because his name is Brad Pickett.
Right.
He's a fairly new assessor for the borough. We should have him on sometime if you have it, Mike.
Yes, I look forward to it.
He's good. And I think it's important that people know that the assessors do way more than just assess property. He had a list of things that they did, deeds, address changes, questionnaires, adjusted value notices. They even get into the platting thing. They do acreage adjustments, utility property statements, the whole list of things that he listed out, which I think is a really good overview. And then getting back to what you said, Mike, again, about not having enough employees, they have about, we have 77,628 parcels in the borough. And part of those, of course, are improved, and part of them are vacant. But per assessor, and I can't remember how many he said was in his department. But
I think there were three.
three, they each are responsible for 3,654 pieces of property. And when you get down to where Fairbanks is, they have 13 people to handle 2,194 pieces of property. So, yeah, the technology, he said, and he did say that that's coming, that he felt that he had enough in his budget to cover that. We'll see if that happens. But and that will definitely help. He had a great little slide showing, you know, what you would do with the computer and what you do with your maps and your fold-out and all the paperwork that they have to drag around with them. Plus, I mean, it's just not an easy place to find property lines and places even. We don't even have a lot of addresses on places. So I thought he had a great presentation. And I think what I want to point out is this is the type of presentation I think that Mr. Seitz has been asking for from the manager. If they could use the standard, I think, that that this assessor brought forward to the assembly, people, the public, and the assembly would understand what they do in their departments and, what their needs are and how they're moving forward and what they do. So I hope that this is a standard that Mr. Moosey brings forward as he's rolling out his budget, because I think he set the bar high.
Oh, yes.
And you could tell, because I don't think anybody had any huge questions.
No.
I think their questions were, for the most part, answered. So
there was one
question to the assessor.
Right. There was one question that was asked. I think it was Mr. Kowalki who asked it, saying, well, if you get and I think it went down the line of if you get the technology, would that mean that you wouldn't need more people? And I thought the assessor responded to that quite well in saying that that's not necessarily the case. What you're looking at is the end result. In other words, in part, does this department, I felt the answer went down, does it pay for itself? But even if there's been an illusion spread throughout all kinds of businesses and educational entities, et cetera, that adding technology will automatically provide savings. And I'm not quite sure that is true. And I think the assessor explained why adding the technology and people together mm-hmm. is really what's necessary in the near term. If you just added people without the technology, you weren't taking advantage, you weren't leveraging some approaches that would provide a better result.
Yeah, and I think the other part that he kind of left out that I would have asked if I was on up there in the chair is I think this is one department that does utilize in the summertime a lot of 20-hour employees. So they do a lot of temporary hires just because they do a lot of their assessing in the summer, which is, understandable considering, our weather. But I've always thought that should be taken a hard look at, too. I know they like to be very proud of the fact they don't have permanent positions, but just how much are they spending on part-time positions and finding those part-time people every year and that sort of thing. So they didn't really get into that, and I think that's a question I would encourage, them to be asking, just not just for this department, but overall how many part-time people they're using to substitute for full-time positions,
sure.
two part-time people as opposed to a full-time position. I think that's always a good one, too. So that was kind of part and parcel of the whole manager's report. They did, someone did ask the question, I think it was Mr. McKee again, what's going on with all of our lawsuits? And that was kind of an unclear question. It sounds like they've heard back a little bit on their claim on the port. And some report pairs that they turned into the insurance company that were denied, that they're appealing, and that ferry, that pesky ferry, Mike.
Right.
They're still waiting to figure that out. And that's a whole bunch of money right there, which I'm sure the assembly would like to hear something about before they have to take on their own budget here in a month or so. So that was about it. They did have another piece on their on his agenda that he ran out of time for, and that was concerning sort of a big topic. It's employee health care benefits. I picked up a memo at the back of the room and have a chance to really look at it until before this call, Mike. But it looks like a report from George Hayes, who he's tasked with figuring out how they can work with their company there to get a little better Paul, they spend a lot of money on health care, as everybody does. It's a big driver right now. So it sounds like Mr. Hayes is actually working on that and actually maybe working with the school district a little bit, seeing if they can find some savings there. So that's been punted to the meeting on the 21st, and we'll look forward to that.
There's one last piece. Yeah.
Oh, which one were you going to cover? Let's see if we have the last piece.
I think we may be in agreement. There was a gentleman who spoke representing a trapper association about a upcoming discussion about revision to the guidelines around trapping and use of trails.
Right. Actually, this is sort of interesting that I've listened to that, because there was a talk about that. There was a resolution, a supporting House Bill 6 that Mr. Sykes brought through that they actually did pass. I was kind of surprised that he was the only gentleman that spoke out on that. It actually got some play yesterday in the House, and I listened to that a little bit. So that one's not quite done. That one is being sort of put aside at this point. The legislature is still working on it.
Okay, and so we're talking about two things here then, both focused on the same topic. One, what locally would be done and what would be done statewide. Is that correct?
No. I think it's the same thing. I mean, I think he was talking about a resolution that was on their packet last night. It was a supporting House Bill number 6, which establishes the Jonesville public use area. I think I think it's the same thing, but maybe I'm confused. We'll back up on that. We'll look at that.
But my sense about it, listening to his gentleman who spoke there, was that he was proposing that here in the borough that there would be a discussion that would ensue essentially between trappers and trail users, dog walkers, et cetera, that would come up with some way of providing guidelines. His references were to the borough regulations that primarily deal with leash laws. Whatever happens at the state level, I think the concern is right down to the local. If you're at Crevasse Moraine or you're anywhere around here, I know there's been quite a bit of media coverage on it. The question is, where can you put a trap, and where can you what are the rules about running a dog, how can these two things be made compatible?
Yeah. Right. Yep, I don't think you've heard the last of that. My last thing was not your last thing, Mike.
Okay.
My last thing was another piece of material that was at the back of the room that the manager spoke briefly about, and that was a draft ordinance that he's going to suggest that has to do with the property our mill rate cap. It's actually not a mill rate cap. It's more a revenue cap.
Right.
And he's looking down the road here saying, if marijuana brings in a lot of money and some other things, we could hit the cap really quickly here. And he's proposing that they look at taking a few things out of that cap, and those two things being basically sin taxes, which has to do with the upcoming any money that we might be able to reap from the marijuana tax, and also cigarette tax, vape tax, and I think maybe he talked about one more tax that they could put outside the cap with some legislation, which to me makes a lot of sense. He said he'd put it outside he made a comment that put it outside the cap and use that specifically for education and EMS. Not sure how that works. The attorney did not weigh in on that, but it's a draft ordinance, and I think we'll be looking at that. And this is all part of the budget talks. This is, again, Mr. Sykes has been the person on the assembly mostly, bringing it up at every meeting, saying we need options. Give us some options. Give us some opportunities to do things different. So looks like Mr. Moosey is starting to set the stage for that. So we'll see where that goes.
Okay.
So that was my last thing.
All right. And interestingly enough, we started off by saying this was a two-hour meeting, yet for those people who were there, and there were a few people that were actually in the audience, we did stream it, and then we recorded it. We put it up on the website. So if you're thinking that what we have talked about is interesting, you may want to go and listen to parts of that. It sits up there. And also the point was made that in 2 weeks when the next assembly meeting happens, the mayor and the manager will be away. I understood.
Right. I think they go to maybe in D.C. that week.
Yes. So it'll be it'll be a different group of, or not the quite the same group sitting up there taking care of business.
Let me walk that back. That also may be that might be a Juneau week. That might be when AML
Oh, that's
is.
Right.
That's probably that,
they're going
where,
to AML.
Going.
That's where they're going. Right. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for calling in and sharing. And we'll look forward to hearing you next week. And have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.